You know, there's those out there that say that 1 John is about assurance of salvation, but we're going to explore that today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, especially those pesky questions that keep you up at night, I hope you'll send them to us. You can do that by zapping us an email at radio@faithalone.org. And today we're going to talk about 1 John, a book that is often misunderstood. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus, where we're taking your questions on Bible and theology, especially as they relate to salvation and assurance, but really on any other topic that, you know, we can always say we have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it should be something related to Christianity.
Well, yeah, sorry. Something related
to
Christianity.
If they want to know about economics, they probably ought to ask somebody else. Or
if you want
to... coronavirus, ask somebody else.
Literally, someone asked us to recommend a lawyer in some city in Wisconsin.
Not a good idea.
I have no idea.
No.
We can't help you with that.
Yeah.
People sometimes ask us, you know, should I take this job or that job? It's like, I don't know you.
Ask
I can't help you.
Somebody else, yeah.
Yes, pray to God for that. But theology and Bible, yeah, we'd love to hear from you on that. Radio@faithalone.org is the email to send your question to. Here is a question from Jeff. Jeff says, John has nearly identical language in its summary verses in John 20:31 and 1 John 5:13. This is Jeff saying.
Right.
He says, well, why is 1 John not the place to go to settle assurance of salvation, but John's gospel is? Question number two, why is John's 21 chapters the place to go for assurance, and 1 John is not, in light of the near identical sentence structure of both verses? So how do they sound the same? Do you have John 20, 30, and 31 on you?
Yes. John 20, 30 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, that is the eight signs written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, I could give multiple reasons to Jeff why, while this is the purpose statement in John's gospel, and it's at the end, that 1 John 5:13 is not the purpose statement of John's epistle. I want to come back to his statement that they're almost identical. I don't think they are. But secondly, it's important to recognize that epistles in the first century generally put their purpose statement up front, right at the beginning.
Okay.
They would tell what their purpose was. And there's a perfectly good purpose statement in 1 John 1, 3, and 4, and I'm convinced that's the purpose, but we'll go there in a minute.
All right.
Also, in a book like a gospel, many times there are no purpose statements.
Right.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't have a purpose statement. Well, the fact that John has a purpose statement and that it's at the end of the book doesn't tell us that epistles should have them at the end of the book. But secondly, 1 John has the expression, these things I write to you or I have written to you three times in the book.
All right, so it's not just once.
Right. One of them is in 5:13,
mm-hmm.
One of them is in 2:26, and one of them is in chapter 2 and verse 2. Now, everybody who studies the book of 1 John understands 1 John 2:1 to refer to 1:5 through basically 2:2, or at least through 10.
So basically he says in 1 John, he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And what you're saying is that these things are what he just wrote before in chapter 1.
In 5 through 10, yes.
5 through 10. But it's not the purpose statement for the whole book.
No.
It's the purpose statement for the lines he just wrote.
Exactly.
Okay.
And same thing in 2:26.
2:26, he says, these things, there we go again, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Now, is that the purpose statement for the whole epistle?
No. But if you look at in chapter 2, starting in verse 18, he's talking about deceivers that have gone out in the world.
Right, the Antichrist and the Antichrists.
And they're trying to deceive the readers.
And so these things are things about the Antichrist and the Antichrists.
These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. That's 18 through 25. That's not the whole book.
It's the purpose statement for that section.
Right, now, go to 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. These things I have written to you refers to verses 6 through 13,
right,
or 9 through 13. If you see, it depends on how you see 6 through 8. Is that some sort of preamble? But clearly, in contradiction to what Jeff is saying, we don't say you can't find assurance in 1 John. 1 John 5, 9 through 13 is to give assurance.
All right, so...
But that's not the purpose of the whole book.
That's
the purpose of those few verses.
Of that section.
Now, before we finish this, and then we're going to follow up, there's a fourth statement in John about why he wrote, but this one doesn't say these things I have written or I write, but it says these things we write.
Okay.
That's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. How about reading 3 and 4?
That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full.
Okay, now the point here is these things is chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, but it has to include the purpose of the whole book, because John is not trying to say that, look, all I'm trying to do is give you what the opening prologue is about. He is giving what you find in an epistle, which is the purpose of the whole book. And the whole book fits around this. It's all about fellowship with God and joy for those who have fellowship with God.
Okay.
And in fact, of course, this joy is ultimately our joy, the joy of the apostles that they have when their children are walking in the truth, which you also see in 2 John and 3 John. But the point is, this is the only place in John where we see these things we write. The others are I, first person,
okay,
singular.
So what's the significance of that?
The significance is, here he's setting this apart. He could have said, these things I write to you. And in which case you'd have four first person singulars, these things I write.
Yeah.
But he tips it off with we, meaning the apostolic circle, and that's pointing to the fact this is the purpose of the whole book. Also, if you have this as the purpose, everything makes sense. For example, wouldn't you want to have a section on assurance of salvation in a book about fellowship?
Fellowship and joy, sure.
I mean, if you're going to experience fellowship and joy, you need to be assured of your eternal salvation.
Right.
But if you take the whole book as being about assurance, then you end up being led down this path of, well, you have assurance by loving one another, you have
right,
assurance by hating
right,
sin, you have assurance by confessing your
right,
sins, you by walking in the light, and you end up and get into some sort of legalistic thinking.
Right.
And that's not what John is talking about. And also, let's get finally Jeff's point about these being the same. In 1 John 5, verse 13, these things I write to you. Actually, it's considered a present. So these things I wrote to you, but it's an aoristic present. So it's
okay,
these things I write to you. But you don't have that in John 20, 31. He says, these are written. That is, these signs are written. He doesn't say, I am writing these signs to you.
Right.
So that, he says, these are written. Yes, it does have the word written in both places, but it's different. They both come in the same location in their respective books, but in the case of the purpose statement in John, the purpose statement in 1 John is actually at the beginning, which is where we'd expect to find it in a letter.
Right.
And so there's no reason for Jeff to think that somehow you can't find assurance in 1 John. Sure you can.
Okay.
5, 9 to 13. And secondly, there's no reason to assume that because there's some similarities between John 20, 30 and 1 John 5, 13, that those both must be the purpose statements of the book.
All right, so let me overview then. The purpose is 1 John 1, 4. We write to you that your joy may be full. And it's about fellowship and
because
joy.
Because of 1:3, yeah.
So fellowship and joy. And then every other these things statement makes sense in light of that. So you have the sin problem.
So 2:1, you confess your sins, you walk in the light, and in that way you experience fellowship with God.
Because if you don't know how to deal with your sin, you're not going to have joy, and you're
exactly.
just going to break fellowship. And then he talks about the false teachers. What can false teachers do? Well, they can lead you away from the apostolic fellowship.
Oh, and they also strip you of assurance.
Strip you of assurance
and
joy.
Because in 2:24, he says they're trying to deceive you regarding everlasting life.
Right. So that little purpose also relates to the major purpose of the book.
Right.
And then the last one is knowing that you have assurance of salvation.
Continuing to have assurance.
Continuing to have assurance. And that's part of joy. And that's a part of the fellowship.
Right. Let's say, for example, you don't know that God accepts you, that God loves you, and you don't know that you have an eternal relationship with Him. Well, then that is going to, at the very least, stunt your growth.
Right.
If not, push you away from God.
Well, yeah, and push you away from other Christians, too.
Right.
Right. I think about the prodigal son. When he thought his dad didn't love him and he wasn't sure if he was going to be accepted, he wasn't running to his father's house. He had to convince himself that, well, at least I can be a servant. If you're thinking about a church family and you think that they're going to reject you and hate you and not accept you, you're not going to want to go to church.
Right.
So you need to know that you're assured. You need to have assurance. You need to know that you're forgiven. You need to know what false teachers to avoid, and then you can have fellowship.
That's right. So I appreciate very much Jeff's question. We have some articles on this on our website, faithalone.org. There's also a very good commentary by Zane Hodges on 1st through 3rd John, and I would highly recommend it. Don't we even have a free ebook on 1st John, I think, at our website?
You know, we might, but even if we don't, I'll put up the shorter commentary on 1st John by Zane that appears in our Grace New Testament commentary, which you can get at our bookstore. I hear good things about it. Well, Jeff, thank you for your question, and thank you, Bob, for giving that answer. And if you're kind of intrigued by what you heard, maybe you've never really thought about 1st John before and what it means, do pick up that commentary by Zane Hodges. It's called The Epistles of John. Did it used to be called Walking in the Light? It might also pop up under that title, older copies of it. Get it at our bookstore, or you can read a shorter version of it in the Grace New Testament commentary. Well, thank you for studying the Bible with us, and keep sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how to equip disciples for ministry. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.